welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Lincoln Blue Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. And before Trevor and I start to dice things up this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Lincoln head coach Moses Harper.
All right, well, rebounded to last week there. It was a good start for you guys offensively. You guys marched down the field on your first drive, scored a touchdown, and then weren't able to really get anything going the rest of the game. So just kind of what you noticed watching that one back.
Well, the first drive is who you kind of want the offensive unit to finally be. That first drive was actually our first opening score drive all season. A couple times we probably moved it and got close to the red zone and got in the red zone. Well, it was a chance for I thought they felt confident in what the game plan was, what we were doing, and try to get in the end zone there, which they did. And throughout the game, we sputtered at times, whether it was a penalty here or there, MA here or there, and kind of set us back. And, you know, and defensively, I feel like they threw everything at us they had. We probably ran about two or three trick plays. And the thing is, when you get a two-score lead and you smell blood in the water, you got to do whatever it takes to get the win.
Yeah, and the defense have been showing signs of progression in recent weeks, and they kind of took a step back there in that game. Just kind of what do you think went wrong on the defensive side of the ball?
We had a bunch of missed tackles, and got outmanned here or there on some scheme stuff. But some things we tried to build off of it. We had some younger guys come in forwards later in the game. Actually, Quaylen Miller led us in tackles with seven tackles. He came in late four. So, again, what positive can you take out of a game like that? You start looking at the guys we brought in and the younger guys who were looking to continue to start playing for us. When they got the opportunity, when the game was away, they still continue to play hard to try to make plays for us.
Yeah, and then moving into a game against Upper Iowa this week, just kind of looking at them, it seems like they're at their best in the fourth quarter. They played a lot of close games, and they seem to find their way on the right side of those. And that kind of rolls into what they did against William Jewell last week with a late score in the final 2 minutes and winning in overtime. So just kind of what have you noticed from them?
Well, this Upper Iowa group is your typical seasoned JOVC football team. You know, this group has been together for 3 to 4 years. They're literally juniors and seniors playing on both sides of the ball. The quarterback's pretty solid. He's a junior. They have a lot of seniors and graduate players on the defensive side of the ball. And the team you see is when you play that well and play that together that long, you find a way to win games in the fourth quarter. So, and that's what you've been seeing out of this ball club. So there's no surprise to them where they're sitting in the conference right now. But this would be a test for us to go out, a young group versus an old group, see if we could not make mistakes. Because if you make mistakes, they'll make you pay for them.
Yeah, and just defensive side of the ball from them, scheme-wise, what your fans expect from them?
It's a solid group. Solid up front. The kids don't do anything outside of their scheme. If they are two-gap player defensive line, they're a two-gap player. You'll never see them try to cross somebody's face to go make a play. They do their job, and they try to do it to the best of their ability. And they lean on their experience more than anything.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Lincoln head coach Moses Harper. Trevor, I don't even know where to begin. 55-7 loss at Northeastern State last week. Things started out so promisingly.
Yeah, that's actually where I was going to go. Things started out great. I mean, they allowed a touchdown on the first defensive drive. Northeastern State gets the ball. I believe they missed the extra point. And then Lincoln goes 75 yards in 8 plays. Quarterback Isaiah Tate with a 23-yard touchdown run. And
this is easy.
They're up 7-6. Right. And it's like what they saw the week prior. They were building off that.
Right.
The offense had functioned at a pretty high level against Lincoln, California. They got off to a great start. And then you fast forward to the end of the game, and the offense didn't score again.
Right.
And on the defensive side, Northeastern State scored a touchdown on 7 of their first 8 drives.
Yeah.
And the one drive they didn't score was because of a lost fumble. So they didn't really stop them.
Right.
Until the game was already out of hand, and the offense kind of took us a couple steps back. So,
yeah.
Not much great to build off of from that one. It seemed like a one step forward, two steps back kind of situation.
Yeah, and some of these games you can kind of look at it and go, okay, you know, the offense didn't help. help anybody out by not scoring or not doing this or not doing that. I mean, their numbers aren't great, but I mean, they had 243 total offensive yards. So it's not like they stunk, and it's not like, you know, the defense looked completely terrible. I mean, you do give up 487 yards of total offense.
That's great.
That is not great. So I think you can pin more of it on the defense than you can the offense, but it almost just sounds like this is kind of just a total team loss in this one. You don't just go, well, we can point our fingers there. It's everybody. And unfortunately, I think, again, you know, I think you and I realized a little bit more than some people. There were some people around the Lincoln, you know, fan base that were thinking, oh, Northeastern State, you know, we've been close with them a lot of times. This is going to be easy. I don't think we thought this one was going to be as close as it was. I just didn't think it was going to get quite as out of hand as it did.
Yeah, and timing's everything. When you see a team, like we talked about last week, they had taken their lumps in an MIAA schedule, and they had that confidence factor of beating Lincoln the last few years, and they saw that as the opportunity to kind of get right, and I'd say they did get right. The disappointing part for me was the fact that defense had made great strides throughout the season. They'd actually been playing some really good football. They were coming off a game where they forced 5 turnovers, and they're going up against not necessarily a high-powered offense in Northeastern State, and they put together their worst performance of the season. Yeah. So that was the part that was disappointing for me. You could kind of expect the offensive struggles facing a much better defense than they saw in Lincoln, California. So that part wasn't necessarily surprising, but I was definitely a little bit surprised and a tiny bit alarmed seeing the way the defense performed.
Well, I was going to say, I think the one number that does jump out at you when you look at the box score is 9.4 yards per play for Northeastern. Whew. So, I mean, when you're getting basically a first down every time you touch the ball, it's going to be hard to slow down a team that, you know, keep them from scoring, because they're just having all sorts of short yardage situations, ability to extend drives. That's just a killer when you go, you know, you can't be allowing that many plays of that many yards. That's just going to be a killer, and it's just going to keep your defense out there longer and longer. We know that the longer the defense is out there, I don't care who they are, the less of a chance they're going to be effective.
Yeah, and you can't get a third down stop if you never see third downs.
Exactly.
So if you're getting second and one at least every time, it's going to be really, really hard to get off the field, and that's kind of where you see the one stop in their first 8 drives came on a fumble.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're basically just hoping for a turnover.
Yeah, and Northeastern State only had 7 third down chances all game and converted 4 of them. So, you know, it's like you say, that those are numbers where you're right. When you're never getting a chance to get them off the field, that's never good.
Yeah, and it's just not a sustainable way of having success. So I assume that's a performance they're just kind of wanting to get in the rear view. Kind of shows, even though Northeastern State is a football independent, they're basically still an MIAA team, and it just kind of shows the differences from last year's schedule to this year's schedule. They've had some of these games that were close this year in the GLVC, and that's the bottom of the bottom of the MIAA, and you kind of see the results. Yeah. So if you're Lincoln, be happier in the GLVC.
Yeah. And it is a return to the GLVC this week. So just to set the board, Lincoln's now 1-5 overall, 0-4 in the GLVC. They do return to conference play today at home at noon against Upper Iowa. You know, when you hear a team that's called the Peacocks, you don't think that maybe they're going to be all that tough, but the Upper Iowa Peacocks they're for real. They're 4-3 overall and 3-1 in the conference. So I think it's a team that, you know, they've got a couple decent wins this year. They've played some pretty good teams pretty close, and you know, they've got some wins, like they beat William Jewell, who obviously took it to Lincoln earlier this season. So you look at it and go, this is going to be a team that's going to test Lincoln today.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned it. When you hear Peacocks, you don't really think of Smash Mouth football, but that's kind of what this team plays.
Right.
They're going to want to run the football, and they're pretty good at stopping the run. So not a good matchup for Lincoln right now.
Right.
And they have a really good quarterback in Darryl Overstreet Jr. And Coach Moses Harper said that this is probably the most talented quarterback they've faced all season.
Okay.
So that is not necessarily the exact matchup that you'd pick or you'd want for Lincoln this week if you're a Blue Tiger fan. So, and I think the biggest thing with that Smash Mouth football is what they've shown in the fourth quarter. They're able to wear teams out, and you've seen it time and time again. Like, we talked about it headed into the Southwest Baptist game. In week 4, Upper Iowa was down 7-0 headed into the fourth quarter. They won that game 21-7.
Okay.
They wore that team out and then just kind of took it to them in the fourth quarter with 21 unanswered points. You fast forward to the next week, they win by 2 against Quincy. they won 29-27. They outscored them 22-7 in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
Kind of the same thing. Get into the fourth quarter, be within striking distance, and then go from there.
Right.
And then last week against William Jewell, it was one of the few games they've been outscored in the fourth quarter. They let a 7-point lead turn into a 7-point deficit late in the game. And they're able to drive down the field, tie the game with 30 seconds left in over 30 seconds left in regulation, then go win the game in overtime. Okay. So their MO is wearing you down throughout the game, and then just kind of taking advantage of that fatigue late in the game. And they've been very successful at it. They're outscoring opponents by 25 points in the fourth quarter this season. And when you look at their total averages for the season, they're scoring 23 a game and allowing 22.1. So they're in close games every single week. And if your MO is being able to win those close games, it's a pretty good place to be in.
Well, and more importantly, I think if you've been there or done that, then that's going to be something where, yeah, this game's close late. It's not like all of a sudden Lincoln may get a big surge from that. It's because I don't think Upper Iowa's going to panic. You know, they're not going to go, uh-oh, what are we doing here with this team playing close to us? That's all they know is people being close to them.
Yeah, and it's that factor that we've talked about with Lincoln. They want to get to the fourth quarter and it be a close game and kind of see where the cards fall.
Right.
And they believe in that situation, the other team is going to be feeling a lot more pressure than they are because Lincoln's obviously not been great in recent history. So a team might panic a little bit when you are in a close game with a team like Lincoln in the fourth quarter. Like you mentioned, that's not at all how Upper Iowa will react to that situation. It's just another Saturday for them. They've done this basically all year. So that is just another reason why this is probably not an ideal matchup for the Blue Tigers today.
Yeah, so again, I feel like there's so many things that, you know, could have happened with last week, you know, with having 2 weeks ago, getting that win finally and kind of getting that momentum. I think that's now kind of, we're back to where we were. So, you know, it's going to have to be, and again, we talked about it early in the season with the fact that they were able to kind of stay inspired and stay up for things even when things didn't start off great and they continued that long losing streak. I think this is another one of those kind of character games where I think Lincoln will show us what they're made of today just based on, okay, we got our win, we got thumped last week, how do we respond to that? Can we put ourselves in the situation to maybe be successful again? I think that's just going to be a matter of, okay, can the coaching staff get them up and do the players, can they get themselves up?
Yeah, and it's kind of that situation where you don't necessarily want it to be the identity of the team, but it kind of has to be the identity of Lincoln football in this era.
Sure.
You have to be able to pick yourself up off the mat and be able to respond because this team is not the most talented team in the GLBC. They're far from it. So they're going to take lumps from time to time. They're not all of a sudden going to turn into a powerhouse within 1 year of taking over this program. So you knew there was going to be lumps, but it's just a matter of how they respond to those lumps. And there's been good answers so far this year. They've played in some close games, but it almost seems like when they take that step forward, play a close game, either come close to winning or win like they did against Lincoln, California, there's the step back that follows. So maybe they are more comfortable in that position. So we'll see how they react to that.
You know, you and I haven't talked about it a lot since we've been kind of focused on other things as the season's gone on. But I think it's worth noting at this point kind of where we're at this point in the season. We kind of entered the, let's just call it the no-joke portion of their schedule. Because if you look at what's remaining, Upper Iowa's sitting right now in second place in the GLVC. Then you go, you've got S&T who's kind of down in the bottom third. But then you close with Truman State. Then you've got your non-conference game against Lane. Then you got Indy, which is, you know, at the top right now. So you look at it and go, you know, you're facing some of the heavy hitters now in the GLVC. So this is also probably not the time of the year where you can afford to have any slip-ups or any letdowns because, yes, it's not the MIAA anymore, but you're going to be seeing the best part of the GLVC going forward. So I think this is one of those weeks where you go, okay, we do have to get refocused because the rest of this schedule is not easy by any stretch of the imagination. We've had the easy portion of the schedule and look how it's gone. So, you know, the ending of the season could be rugged if the Blue Tigers are not ready for it.
Yeah, and Lane's the one game in there that you kind of doesn't really fit that narrative, but the rest of it, like you mentioned, Indy's the one ranked team in the conference. Upper Iowa is sitting right there at the top half of the conference.
Yep.
They might not have been predicted to finish there at the start, but they're obviously obviously playing very good football.
Right.
And, yeah, there's no opportunities for mistakes, really, down the stretch. And if you want to get one of these games, it likely comes against Lane, but if you want to get one of those conference games and get one in the first season back in the GLBC, it's going to have to be a near-perfect football game.
Right.
And there was opportunities earlier in the season, like the McKendry game, where they kind of were able to afford not playing their best football and still find themselves in a game in the fourth quarter.
Right.
They really will not get that opportunity the rest of the season, at least in conference play. Yeah. So the offense is going to have to perform at a higher level than we've seen from them outside of that Lincoln, California game. And the defense needs to start making steps back in the right direction like they were showing for weeks. Yeah. So, yeah, it gets real serious here for them in the next coming weeks.
To that end, you want to have all hands on deck when you're heading into a rough stretch of the schedule. So how's the overall health of the Blue Tigers at this point? Any lingering injuries, major injuries, anything going on where we should be concerned about personnel?
The big one right now is they're going to be missing two secondary pieces for today. Rakeem Ashford, a North Carolina State transfer who's been the best player in that secondary so far this season at safety, he is out with a concussion, and corner Chris Harris is also out with a concussion.
Okay.
So when you're facing the quote-unquote best quarterback you've seen on the schedule so far, you want your secondary to be healthy, and they're missing probably their best piece in that secondary. So that's not great. They're expecting Quaylen Miller, a freshman, to step in. He led the team in tackles last week after Rakeem Ashford got hurt, and Javon Only is also going to step in. So going to see some new faces back there, and it's going to be kind of a sink or swim situation today, it seems like.
Absolutely. Well, I guess I'll just ask you, who comes out on top today at Dwight T. Reed Stadium?
I don't think this is going to be the day for Lincoln to get that first GLVC win. This is kind of a tall task. I think they'll keep it relatively close. We'll go 38-21.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's Trev Hahn3. Thanks for listening.